And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
Are you using isotope down there to be able to get the signal waves on the bottom, or is that just part of the program?
That's just part of the program.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
We didn't have that in audition at the radio station. What the hell?
Hey, listen. Well, you've upgraded now.
Certainly have.
So welcome, man.
Here, thank you very much. Let me put this on Do Not Disturb because I get spam calls constantly.
My family's going to call me, I guarantee it. They know when I work and they purposely call me then.
Yeah,
so
I'm
that
sure.
So that they can say they did. I called her.
I feel that.
Oh, God. So how you doing? How you been?
I'm doing good. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you too, man. Yeah. I love Wash Wednesday.
Oh, well, thank you.
How did we get there?
Oh, geez. That's a long, long road, and that's a reason why I came up with a minute and a half summary in the beginning of each episode.
Okay.
But and I'll try to keep it short for you guys. So Walsh Wednesday was something that I did back in high school, believe it or not.
Right.
It was something that got started sophomore year. Some friends, I had my guitar with me one day, just randomly, and they're like, Connor, you should play for everybody. You should play for everybody. It's like, nah, nobody's going to want that. Then friends from another table are like, Connor. So I get up, I play for everybody. I'm like dancing in people's faces, playing guitar and whatnot. And people were really getting into it. That was a Monday, actually. But for whatever reason, I needed to have my guitar on that coming Wednesday.
Okay.
So I said, hey, the guitar will be back on Wednesday. Everybody cheers. I'm not on social media at the time.
Right.
But people were posting photos and videos of it with the hashtag Walsh Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
So it was like, can't wait for this coming Wednesday, Walsh Wednesday.
Right.
So, and that ended up starting like a mini series I did probably about like once a month through like sophomore year through the end of senior year of high school. Then by the time I got to college, I rebooted Walsh Wednesday as a web series. So that's where we get the talk show element where we're talking to people and everything. And I had some really awesome episodes with that where I was speaking with community leaders, with charities, other local musicians, some touring musicians, some big highlights from those days. Guinness World Record holding pianist Ethan Bortnick I got to speak with, Nashville award-winning songwriter Ash Taylor, platinum-selling acts like 303 and Jay Sean. Had some fun times with that, really learned a lot, and that kind of... And I did a number of things with it. I even had spinoffs. I had the concert series, the Walsh Wednesday concert series, Walsh Wednesday Spotlights, which was more about the community, Walsh Wednesday the reflective series, which actually we talked a little bit about the last time
right.
I was here, was the more mindfulness segment of it all. But then that kind of all went on pause when I worked for the radio station, Town Square Media. And in many ways, I essentially continued on what I was doing with Walsh Wednesday with In Touch, which was our public affairs and issues program, and Town Square Spotlight, which was our arts program. So in many ways, I was still doing Walsh Wednesday,
right.
Just everything but the name.
Right.
And then, of course, the layoffs happened back in November. So for anybody who doesn't know about like this huge wave of media layoffs during election week, a bunch of different companies, not just mine, but a bunch of different companies all decided that they were going to lay off hundreds of employees.
Mm.
Because that way, since all the attention was on the election, there would be no press about them laying off all these employees. So you got, I know people from ABC, I know people from NBC, CNN, iHeart, Cumulus, and of course, where I was from, Town Square.
Right.
And it was that, it was the day after the election that I got pulled into my boss's office and everything.
Mm.
And I could tell exactly what was going on when he asked me to shut the door. The president is on the computer screen. My boss is right there. Both of them are not in good mood. So you could tell what was about to happen.
Oh, God, that sucks.
And yeah, so that was November. I had literally just celebrated 3 years with the company. I was with the company since what would that have been? That would have been 21, November 1st, 2021. So yeah, so then it was like, Jesus, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And so because of
Were you in mad? Touch,
I mix of emotions.
Okay.
It was a mix of emotions because I wasn't going to get the advancement that I wanted to out of that place. I knew it.
Right.
I knew it because there were a lot of different ideas, initiatives, plans, things along those lines that I wanted to do. But unfortunately, there were doors shut in my face. There were roadblocks and I just couldn't find my way around them. And I even had somebody in the company literally tell me, it was like, there is no more room for advancement for you in this building.
Mm.
Maybe if you transfer to another building, but not in this building.
Right.
So I was already looking for a way out or to find another job or find another experience anyway. And then in October, there was all these administrative meetings where all these people you don't typically see on a normal work week are in the office. And you know that they're getting ready for the next year. And whispers of layoffs were in the building.
Right.
And
sorry.
No, you're good. I felt, part of me felt like, okay, it could be me. And another part of me felt confident because I did a million things in that building. But it just goes to show you how expendable you really are in a job. Mm. It's one thing to give your all when you're super passionate about something, but don't give up your own autonomy because anybody can get rid of you at any time.
For anything.
For anything. So, yeah, it was just a matter of, you know, cuts and whatnot. And I was one of, I believe, three in the building, but like one of 300 across the country.
Right.
Across the company. That's what I was told, at least. That's what I heard. Definitely fact check my numbers. I've tried to look into it.
Right.
But again, because of election week.
Not a lot of coverage.
Not a lot of coverage. So, yeah. So yeah, it was like, but in another way, it was freeing. It was freeing where it's like, okay, I needed an excuse to get out of here to grow.
Right.
So this is it. And I had all these events lined up because of working through In Touch, where I get invited to all these events, where I was going to a banquet in Wappingers. I was going to an award breakfast in Poughkeepsie. I had all these things lined up in the next week. So now I got to go to these things where it's like, hi there, I'm so-and-so, president and CEO of this company. Who are you? Hi there, Connor Walsh, unemployed. So
I can tell you who I was last week. Is that what you
Exactly. So it was a very weird feeling. But you know what? I'm glad that I still decided to attend those events.
Right.
Because they are what pushed me to bring back Walsh Wednesday.
Right.
And to make it a legit business. Because I was speaking with people and telling them about, you know, what I used to do at Town Square and how I don't know what I'm doing next. But they're like, oh, damn, I wish we could have connected before because I could have given you this person to talk to. I was talking to this one guy with the Stissing Center. It's like, oh, damn, if we met 1 month sooner, you could have talked to Alan Cumming.
Mm.
And I'm like, that would have been fantastic. Yeah. But so, you know, I knew that I wanted to continue this. I'm a man of telling stories. I love the art form of telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love playing music and everything, music is always going to be my passion. I love telling stories in so many other different forms and being able to have a solid, deep conversation with somebody like we're having right now.
Right.
It means something to people and you can learn something out of it and to grow. And it's something I've always stuck by. And it was like, all right, you know what? Walsh Wednesday's coming back. Not just that, I'm making this a legit company. So I am now the owner and founder of CMJW Entertainment Incorporated.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
A lot of paperwork. A number of things that we're still working on, of course. But it's a very proud feeling being like, okay, I've gotten this far. I can do these things. And I have people who I worked with through the radio station who I contacted like, hey, I'm looking to do this. I need some support. Like, can you help me out in some way? Or what advice do you have? You've been a business owner for how long? What do you have? And so many people were just so quick. It was like, Connor, we believe in you. We believe in your vision. We believe in your work. So, yeah, how can we get on board with this? And I could not be doing this without any of them.
Right.
And I am so, so grateful. I'm also really grateful to my folks, of course, too. They have been super supportive through this whole thing. You know, Dad's helped me out big time. I'll admit he's definitely helped me out financially and everything, get the startup costs going.
Sure.
And then also, you know, he started his own business only like 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So
what does he do?
He's a real estate appraiser, okay. Walsh Valuation.
Where?
Out of Poughkeepsie. But right. He does.
Do you know the phone number?
His phone number? Yeah.
Pitch it.
Yeah, 914-489-7783. Also, you can hit him up at walshvaluation@gmail.com. And if you're a bank or if you have, you know, an issue going on with your house where you need it appraised, you know, he's one of the best in the area to do it. He's been doing it for what, like 30, 40 years? So, he's doing good. Ever since he started his own business, you know, he's been doing great with it. So
you just paid him back.
Oh, exactly. Oh, no. Not just that. I'm also his tech guy. So okay. He'll hit me up. It's like, Connor, I'm having this issue with the computer. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
So I'll be like, all right, give me the captain's chair. Let me figure out what's going on.
Right.
Sometimes I can tell him what's going on. And other times it's like, what did you do? What's going on here?
Tell me what button you pressed.
It's like, I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah.
So I see that's a lot of big. Am I good?
You're, big. You're a little big. I can turn you down.
Do
you
it's want all good. I'll just stay back.
All right,
I'll cool. just stay back. No worries.
It's fun doing a show with you because you know what you're looking at.
Exactly. No, I know. It's like, oh boy, I'm loud. But yeah, so big time helping him out. Do you know Philomena Finelli?
Yeah.
Impact PR?
Yeah, sure.
She was like one of the first people I went to because she and her company were big in getting me guests for In Touch at the radio station.
Right.
So she was like one of the first people I hit up, been fantastic about that. And then a lot of my friends with a lot of different organizations like American Cancer Society, Nick Lipris, or Meg Boyce with the Alzheimer's Association, Lane Rodkamp with Dutchess Tourism, Jeff Feldman from Feldman Kleiman Collins and Safe. There we go.
Well done.
Finally got it. I'm probably forgetting some people. Oh, Paul Hacker, the Virtuous Hacker. Just so many awesome people. And then just some of my best friends. Because I called them up for the very first episode. I call up these two guys I've known for like 12 years. And I go, it's like, I'm starting this up. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I want you guys on as like my first two guests, because that way if I screw up or if anything goes wrong, you guys won't judge me as much.
Right.
They won't judge me as much, and I can call you back in if everything
right.
hits the fan. And it was great. And also, like, my two friends are really, really cool because Harrison Mark, he's a writer for World History Encyclopedia, which is the biggest online encyclopedia, like most read.
Right.
So like that's pretty big. And then my other buddy who I brought on, he's a minor league champion hockey player.
Mm.
So it's like, oh my God, I have two awesome friends here.
Right.
And then two other people I brought on that technically the second episode, but I aired them both on the same day.
Right.
I had actually my therapist, Megan. She was great. We had a great discussion about, you know, mental health, seasonal depression, a lot of stigmas and misconceptions when it comes to social media. But then I also got to speak with Paul Lasel, who I've done some theater work with. For 21 years, he's been a conductor and pianist for Wicked on Broadway.
Mm.
So and Wicked being huge right now with the movie, right. That was phenomenal to speak with him about, and his perspective with the movie as well.
Right.
And then, yeah, just really awesome people. Then the Music of the Hudson Valley book series. You're included in that now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations to us. We're both in it.
Yeah.
But so we talked to Mercedes and Joe for that, and another John Newhall. And then this week, the week that we're recording this, I have Melaine Rodkamp, Duchess Tourism. I got my dad talking about Officials versus Cancer, which is a basketball tournament in the area. And this one I am very stoked about, super proud of. And thank you to Steve Fortunato for making this happen. New York Yankee legend Bernie Williams I'm having on.
Fun.
Yeah. Already talked to him, so now it's just the editing the clips.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so we already got it. So pretty good start.
Yeah.
I feel good.
Yeah, that's a good start.
I feel good. I've been yapping a lot.
No, that's good. We're here to talk about your show. So
I know, that's what it's away. All about.
So what's the plan to monetize it?
So, yeah, monetizing, getting a number of sponsors, that's been one of the biggest things. And
did you do an ad kit? Did you do a...
Oh, yeah, no, okay. Got a whole packet and everything. So anytime somebody's going to be a guest or a business partner, I have this whole packet that I give to them, kind of laying out what exactly Walsh Wednesday is, the expectations on and off the mic, and then also the various packages of what they could potentially get, what I can give back to them in exchange for their sponsorship. And had a number of sponsors so far where, you know, Impact PR, you know, they've been sponsoring. My dad's companies have been sponsoring. Alzheimer's Association sponsored an episode. Dutchess Beer Distributors, they sponsored an episode. Talking with a few other companies about sponsoring episodes.
Awesome.
I was really hoping to get some more people to do, like, longer campaigns because I have, like, 3 months and 6 month campaigns.
Right.
But a lot more people are, at least at this moment, going more for the episode per episode plans.
Right.
And you know what? That's fine. That's extremely appreciated. It's helping me out one way or another.
Right.
It's hard to
educate advertisers about advertising because it's not a one off.
No.
It's a momentum game.
You can't.
It's not one row and the boat gets across the river. You have to. You have to build on it. I always say this. Name the first thing you did, the first time it was suggested to you. Never.
Exactly.
How many people told you you ought to work out before you finally went to a gym?
Right.
It's the same thing with advertising.
Yes.
And you really have to work to educate people about that.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Absolutely. And the longevity of it makes such a difference. The longevity of it helps.
Well, there's no way. And the trouble with one-offs too is there's no way to judge ROI because – you hear the ad, and you don't act for let's assume one time works, and it does. It gets you some awareness, definitely.
Yeah,
but then the person who heard it, say you have a basement repair company. I'm making that up. I listened to Walsh Wednesday, and it's sponsored by John Burton's Basement Repair Company. And then 3 months later, I got pipe breaks in my basement.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, I remember Burton, basement repair. And I look him up online and I call him. Connor doesn't get credit for that.
Yeah.
But it came from Connor. It takes a long time.
It does take a while. And a lot of my favorite YouTube channels and podcasts, it's funny some of the things that I have gotten because of their channels.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's never the first time hearing about it.
Exactly. It doesn't work that way.
It's always like it's because of a need. Or say I've been listening for a while and then the holidays come around and this is just good timing and things along those lines.
But this is such a better format than radio. I'm so happy you're doing this. This is such a better format than radio.
I can speak longer because In Touch.
It's up to you.
In Touch was nice where, you know, it was a half hour program. But even sometimes some of those felt rushed.
Yeah, sure.
So it's nice to be able to have longer conversations. However, I am typically having like two interviews per episode.
Mm-hmm.
Reason that I'm thinking about that, kind of like what I was doing with the radio station, In Touch was the public affairs series, Town Square Spotlight was the arts and entertainment, kind of morph it all together. Right. And that way, people who are coming for one guest will also get the other and vice versa, and hopefully diversify the listening audience
right.
and have more people discovering more interesting guests.
Right, right.
We'll see if that works. We're still early in
yeah,
everything.
It takes time. Man.
It takes time, but we'll see.
I like that approach. But I like that it's your choice.
Yes.
The minute when freeform talk like this doesn't work when it's constrained by like corporate policy,
yeah.
when it's constrained by you know people telling you who to have on, or when it's constrained by the language you can or cannot use, mm-hmm. it dilutes the authenticity to the point now, and there's so many podcasts out now to compare to, and I'm talking popular ones that you can really feel it now.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you know, like one or two podcasts, you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. But now podcasting has become such an important medium that
yes.
you know, like I I won't name the station because I can't remember it. But we do the Lifted Project, right? And Mike Robinson's a buddy of mine, he said, hey, I send the song to so-and-so at the station. And they write back and we're going to play it in between 8 and 9 hour. In the morning, mm-hmm. so you got to listen. So I go online at 8 o'clock. Traffic, weather, a disco song. 8:07. Traffic, weather. I couldn't listen to the whole hour to even hear my own to hear yeah. our own song. Yeah. It was so bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think radio recovers. I really don't.
It's in a very tough spot right
yeah.
now. And I know we talked about this last time. I think to move forward, they need to look backward, actually.
Yeah.
Because what radio used to be was a lot of heart and soul of the community.
Right.
And right now, it has become a lot of corporate agendas.
Right.
And it's kind of missing the point. Obviously, yes, you need to stay relevant. You need to stay up to date with the technology mm-hmm. and everything. And I get why there needs to be the articles and the ad revenue through the websites. I get that. But also at the same time, the on-air content, do not limit the incredible talent that you have
right.
to just like 10-second clips saying absolutely nothing.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's a shame.
And I always wonder what would happen if radio, because I remember you saying that, and then I remember thinking it later, to go even further backward and start doing produced programming.
Yeah.
Do radio plays.
Yeah.
Do that kind
of
thing.
Well, that's what a lot of podcasts are
doing it, yeah.
Because a lot of them, there's, I'm forgetting the exact name of it right now, but it's one of my favorite examples of it. It's a Batman. Essentially like podcast play.
Right.
And it has such amazing, amazing actors in it. Winston Duke plays Batman. Oh my God, his voice fits it so well. Mm. John Rhys Davies, I think that's his full name. The guy who played Gimli in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
He plays Dr. Hugo Strange.
Mm.
Oh my God, such good casting.
Yeah.
And I loved this series. And
you ever think about doing that?
Oh, I have a number of occasions.
No, but I mean,
actually.
On Walsh Wednesday now.
Oh, on Walsh Wednesday, I think I would keep that separate.
Okay,
yeah, I would probably just do a completely other program because
right.
during the pandemic, we had a couple of different things that I worked on. I worked with this one production company, Porridge Co. It was called. And we did this anthology series called Tales from the Black Box.
Oh,
it was,
cool.
Yeah, it was kind of like a Twilight Zone-ish kind
right.
of thing, where it was this awesome anthology and, you know, multiple voice actors working on these things. And I helped edit them. I voice acted in some of it. That was great. There was another production called An Abundance of Caution that we did. A few friends of mine wrote it, put it together, and I was one of the voice actors for it. And that was a lot of fun as well. And I think it just goes to show how much the medium can do.
Yeah.
Even like if you listen to audiobooks, you know.
Yeah.
I think The Sandman is a perfect example of that.
Right.
Because they've had so many incredible actors on that. I can't remember the cast off the top of my head, but I know that it's a stacked cast where they have everybody reading each line for the character, and then they have the narrator, but it's still very, like, radio play-esque the way that they do it.
Right. Like, very cool. Do you feel more free?
Yes, absolutely. I do. It's crazy to feel much better about yourself when you have so much. No, I got to stop myself. I got to see how I really want to say this. All right, I'll give this example. I think probably giving an example will make this clearer. My girlfriend, she's still got her job. It's a full-time job and everything. But it's not necessarily what she wants endgame-wise.
Right.
And, you know, she'll come home tired. She'll call me. She'll be saying how stressed out she is, just pulling out her hair. She's learning a lot, but the stress of I'm not there yet is definitely big.
Yeah.
And then here I am, literally just laid off from my job, just doing door dashing and trying to start up this podcast, but feeling so much better and at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just goes to show you the unfortunate mindset that we have in Western culture, that we're so much led to believe that we have to have all these things in a row and all these pegs in place. And especially, you know, I think this goes for anybody, but I think the Gen Zs and millennials right now are really feeling it because it's really hard to establish ourselves these days.
Right.
So with that being said, on paper, Alex looks better than me.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, I think
in wellness,
I think I feel better than her.
Sure.
And I say that with love.
Yeah.
And I absolutely say that with love. I know she's working so, so hard and I'm very proud of her, but I know it is taking a lot out of her.
Right.
While at the same time, I'm working so, so hard as well on these things. I don't have as many things guaranteed as she does, like
a paycheck.
I don't have the benefits yet. I don't have any of that. But I feel so much better and in tune with myself. I remember I even said the last time I was here, I felt more me.
Yep.
I feel even more me.
Perfect. How are you doing personally? How's the relationship going?
Oh, great. Absolutely
awesome.
Great. Yeah, no, very excited about everything that's been going on. Love Alex to death. I talked about her last time. Actually, the songs, I don't know how many we're going to do, but both of them dedicated to her Valentine's Day coming up and everything. So, it's been really good. As we're job hunting and as we're trying to figure out what our next steps are, we're sending each other a lot of links for townhouses, apartments, whatnot to move in. We're long distance.
She's farther north. Right.
Schenectady. Right. So
somebody's going to have to fold.
Yeah. So I'm fine. I'll go anywhere. But I think one of the discussions that we've been having, though, is I think she needs to compromise a little bit more when it comes to that, because there are some things down the pipeline. I don't think I can really talk about everything yet just because not everything is 100% certain.
Right.
But if any of them pan out, I'm probably anchored in this area a lot more.
That happened to me.
Yeah.
That exact happened to me. The plan was always my daughter, she's going to graduate high school this year, right? She graduates high school. She goes to school and we're going down south, someplace by the ocean, something. And then I started doing the show and the show worked.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a Hudson Valley based show. You can't go anywhere and, you know, pull musicians like that.
It's tough.
You got to and you have to be entrenched in it to do it. So it's essentially starting over.
Yeah.
And so I feel you, man. I'm locked. I'm locked here too.
It's an interesting feeling. Actually, Welsh Wednesday is not the thing that I feel locked in with.
Right.
Because I am doing some virtual interviews right now anyway.
What are you using?
I'm just using Zoom for it at the moment. I would love to upgrade. I've been looking into Riverside. I hear that. Is it good?
It's really good. You get really good raw file.
Nice.
But it has an AI that fucks everything up.
Ooh.
It has you can edit with it.
Okay.
But it's so much I use Riverside to record, and then I use Audacity to edit, because Audacity is so much better.
Oh, that's fine.
So
yeah, I don't care about it to edit. I care about it to capture.
Yeah. In that, it's fantastic.
Oh, if it captures well,
yep.
That's what I'm looking for. I'll edit it on the side.
Although I just heard, you know Cidiot? You know that podcast?
Yes, I've heard. I've listened to it. Weren't you just on an episode? I thought I just saw.
No, he just came on.
Oh, he came on here.
Yeah, and then I'm going on his.
Okay.
But he uses Zoom, and his sound quality is great.
Yeah.
So maybe
the sound quality I feel fine with. It's more the video quality.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's more the video quality that I'm worried about, because because your show is just simply the listening portion of it all. And that's huge. One thing that I really wanted to do with Walsh Wednesday right off the bat was include a visual component to the show.
Right.
It is a pain in the ass. It is a lot.
It's a lot.
And
And there you're smart keeping it to a shorter segment, because to get somebody to watch something for, 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, that's harder than getting them to listen to it.
Absolutely. And, well, you can still listen, of course, to Walsh Wednesday, Spotify, Apple, everything.
Right.
But the reason why I'm focusing so much on the visual aspect is because of the clips, the reels, the shorts, the TikToks, the whatever. You take those little sound bites, and I will tell you 100%, I've been doing this for the last 3 weeks of putting together the clips of the episodes, tagging the episode in it so that people can go to the episode. I have honestly seen the numbers raise every time I post a new clip.
This is why you want to do Riverside. It does it for you, and it's accurate. You tell it, I want 30-second clip. It picks the – I don't know how – I mean, it's AI, obviously, but they know what 30-second clip to pick.
Wow.
And they do like 10, and you can pick one.
Wow.
And it's that in time alone.
Yeah, that's huge, because I do it all manually.
Yeah.
I do it all myself. I will
go
through.
What are you editing?
I use a mix between iMovie and Final Cut right now. I miss using the Adobe Suite. I used to use the Adobe Suite. I do not have access to the Adobe Suite anymore.
Audacity's free.
Audacity's great.
Right.
It's more, this is the visual component of it all.
Oh, okay, right.
If I'm doing editing the audio, I use Pro Tools.
Oh, okay.
I love Pro Tools. I've bought everything that I need to. I have a license that'll last me a while. I'll probably have to update it in a couple years or something just to get the latest versions and everything.
I gotta learn Pro Tools. I don't even know it. Is it hard?
There are some easy facets to it that I feel like if you're used to one DAW, you'll get used to this.
Okay.
But then there are very, very, very niche things where, like, if you're really trying to do some crazy stuff with it,
right?
Like, then it gets a little complicated.
Right.
If you're just looking to cut up a podcast, you could literally do it on any of them.
Right.
If you're just trying to do some basic EQ and you're just cutting up clips, you can use Audacity. You can use Pro Tools. You can use GarageBand. You can use any of those. I've become so used to Pro Tools just because of college and music mixing and engineering and producing. It's just easy for me and second nature at that point. If you're going to be like mixing a band, I'd say Pro Tools.
Right.
Big time. Or Logic. Logic's really great too, especially if you're using MIDI samples. I don't use MIDI nearly that much. I try to keep it to the raw instrumentation. But I know people who rely on a lot more MIDI instrumentation and come up with some amazing things out of Logic. So those are my recommendations off the top of my head. But obviously it changes per person and what exactly you're looking to do.
How's the music going?
Music's fun. Music's fun right now.
Are you playing out?
Yeah, I just did a couple of private gigs, which it was nice to get back out there, especially, in January. January is a slow time for musicians.
Right.
So it's nice to be able to get out there and do like a couple shows. Looking into doing, well, I'm booking some stuff mainly for the summer right now. Whether that's DJing, I do event DJing, and then I also perform as well. So,
how do we hire you?
Yep. So, phone number 845-514-4093. You can email me at conwalsh1197@gmail.com. conwalsh1197. I also just recommend going to my link trees and my my website. You can go to cmjwentertainment.square.site, and then
say that again.
CMJW Entertainment.
CMJ, okay.
Yep. My initials. CMJW.
Got it.
Entertainment.square.site or Linktree/Connor Walsh Music or Linktree/Walsh Wednesday.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You want
to
play a song?
I would love to play a song.
What are you going to do?
How many am I allowed to do today? I think that also determines it. Because, like, there's two songs I think would be great for pre-Valentine's Day.
Let's do them.
Okay, fantastic. So, let me get a swig. So, first one I want to do wasn't written for my girlfriend, but my girlfriend loves this song.
Is that new?
Oh, no, I've had this one.
Why don't I remember that?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't know if I brought this one, but
maybe that's why.
Maybe I didn't bring this one last time. But it's a baritone guitar
and
everything.
I can't remember names. I'm horrible with directions. I have to know you a hot minute before I remember your name. But
You remember my name pretty quickly, actually. I'm honored.
but for some reason I can memorize guitars. I don't know why.
Nice.
It's like, no, oh, it's not nice. It's a stupid talent. Because
no, it's a fun talent.
Give me something that I can use in real life. Except know that you have a new guitar. That's not a talent.
Yeah, no, my mom jokes around all the time with my dad. Well, both my dad and I, we are just banks of trivial knowledge.
There you go.
And she's like, why can't you guys put this to good use?
Right. You know, you twist out a little bit and you're a neurosurgeon.
Right.
So a little tiny bit. But anyway.
But no, we're
sorry.
Good. You're fine.
All right.
So, I didn't write this for my girlfriend, but she loves the song nonetheless. And it was probably her first favorite song of mine when we started dating. She started listening to my stuff. And it's called Some Sort of Way.
Beautiful.
It'll make me feel some sort of way. Oh, wait, hold on. Lyrics, I lost it. Oh, no. What?
It's the curse of the show. I think I told you. Everybody comes in here, they forget the lyrics the first
yep.
time.
Yeah. Oh, I was literally just practicing this earlier. Give me a second.
Take your time.
This is pathetic.
No, it's not.
Yeah. See, okay, so while I'm looking up my own lyrics, there was this show called The Singing Bee. What's his name? He was in NSYNC, Joey Fatone.
Okay.
Joey Fatone hosted it and everything.
Oh, I think I saw it.
It was a great show. I loved it. And they had the lead singer of REO Speedwagon on.
Right.
And they had all these different songs and categories. And, of course, they had an REO Speedwagon category where he had to, you know, finish the lyric of his own song. And Joey Fatone is like, so, do you think this is your lyric? And it's like, I'm the one who wrote it, damn it. It better be the lyric. So, all right, here we go. All right, finally, some sort of way.
Okay, isn't it a great feeling when you forget a lyric and then you look at me and you're like, of course that's what it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Ooh, you feel like a summer breeze that's blowing right on through my head. Girl, you make a rolling stone wanna stop and sit right there and take you in. While he can your spirit be obtained by man? I hope it can't. I hope you're free. Hope you're anything you wanna be. But if you knew what you do to me, you got me feeling some sort of way. Got me feeling some sort of way.
feel like a carousel. My head is spinning round and round. Oh well. I wouldn't know where to take you out, because you own the whole damn town. But if you put your hand in mine, I promise to show you a hell of a time. The night is young, the time is ours. We will burn out each and every star. And then I get that racing in my heart. You got me feeling some sort of way.
Thank you. A couple flubs, but we got it.
That's all right, man.
We got
that's,
through it.
That's why I like playing originals. If I flub it, I'm the only one who knows.
Oh, exactly, exactly. Couple more of the guitar flubs. It's like, all right, how do I play this? It wasn't even that. It's not even that hard of a song, but it's just like sometimes your hand doesn't want to work with you sometimes.
Yeah. I'm doing a private concert on Friday.
Oh, fantastic.
And, it's tough. It's for somebody that's passing.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
But I'm doing it all 12 string.
Oh.
I actually grew up playing 12 string.
Really?
Yeah. I learned on classical. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to college, I got a 12 string as a graduation present. So I didn't start playing six string steel till I was 30.
Wow.
Because somebody kicked a hole through my 12 string. And I'm like, yeah.
No.
It sucked. So I'm doing 12 string, and dude, you should practice on a 12 string, because once you practice on a 12 string, a 6 string is like, oh, this is cute.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah. I've played a few 12 strings, but I haven't had like a hell of a lot of experience with them.
Oh, they work you, man.
They'd work you. Yeah. I had another guitar. It was this black Takamine. It was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And I had this back when I was in high school. And I left it in the locker room when I was going to a lacrosse game. It was it was our lacrosse locker room. Nobody else is supposed to be in this locker room. It should have been locked up and everything.
Right.
I come back after this game, the guitar is smashed.
Oh.
And I was livid.
Oh.
And of course, being in the locker room, there's no cameras.
Right.
You can only see like who goes in and out, but that doesn't show you.
That doesn't prove anything.
So, oh God, I was so pissed.
Yeah.
So I don't use the guitar to play anymore, but I did get it repaired enough where it's a beautiful decoration.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and I look at it every single day, and it's just kind of a reminder of where I came from. And
right.
They were able to flatten it and everything, and it's got all the cracks in it,
right.
Of course. And they says like for extra, we can smooth it out and repaint and everything. It's like, no, keep it.
Yeah.
I like that. I kind of like that now that it's all pressed together, and it's a symbol of resilience.
Yeah, I just went through that. I only play Takamine. I play it like an AN-10.
Yeah,
and they're rare.
Yeah,
they're not super expensive, but they're really rare. You can't find them. So I have three of them now.
Nice.
And but the one that got me started on is beat to fuck. I mean, it's just beat. You know, I mean, it's just it's marauded. The thing is so beat up, and it finally cracked down the middle, and I'm like. But not so that it's not playable. It's still, mm-hmm. it still sounds great. But I'm looking at it, I'm like, eventually, that's gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
So, but I'm like, but I like the way this guitar looks so much. I don't want to send it somewhere and have them refinish it.
Right.
But then I found a guy. Who, his name is Charlie Arnold. He's in like Louisiana, and all he does is work on Takamine guitars. And he showed me an AN10 that he redid, and so I'm sending it to him to have it redone. But I'm like, same as you, I was like, you know, there's history in there, man.
There's so much history to it. Our guitars are extensions of ourselves.
Well, they are. Guitar is a percussion instrument, right? You got to hit it to make noise,
yeah.
Right? So it's a percussion instrument, and it makes that noise by vibrating, not just the strings. The whole thing vibrates. That's why the body of a guitar is important, because it's vibrating. You're holding the guitar. You're vibrating too.
Yeah.
What comes out isn't just a combination of is a combination of your vibration and the guitar's vibration.
Yeah.
So it is literally an extension of you, because it's both vibration to make sound.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's literally so to have one smash, dude.
I was so mad.
I would commit a hate crime.
That was
I would commit a hate crime.
That was over 10 years ago, and I can still feel
I can see you're still pissed.
The guttural pain of it. Oh my god. But yeah, oh god, yeah, it probably was a little over 10 years ago now, but oh my god.
Do you have any music projects coming up?
So, not at the moment, because right now...
Oh, you're working on Walsh Wednesday.
Working on Walsh Wednesday has taken priority right now.
Yeah.
We are going to be getting into the studio and recording a few songs coming out real soon. Well, they're not going to come out real soon, but we're going to start recording some stuff real soon. I got a buddy of mine up in Albany. He's a drummer. He's got all this different equipment we're going to record together.
Oh, nice.
We started some projects a while ago. And then it never came into fruition.
Yeah.
So what we're hoping to do is kind of like start from scratch.
Right.
And kind of start from scratch, renew the stuff we worked on before.
Right.
And have some new stuff in there as well. And we're really hoping to make, you know, 2025 the year where we stick to it and finish a couple of these. And I feel really good, and I feel very secure about it. My goal is to have a couple of singles out by the summer and to have a couple of music videos out for them.
Cool.
Because last summer was a lot of fun. I did this whole...
Yeah, you were on a tear last summer.
Oh, my God. So last summer, I did 13 music videos in 13 weeks.
Man.
And mind you, of course, they weren't like film studio quality or anything. But
still work.
It's still a lot of work, a lot of editing, a lot of shooting, a lot of stuff on location, because I went all around the Hudson Valley. Literally, if you watch my videos for Long Way Home and for That First Step, I'm in Ulster County. I'm in Dutchess County.
Where would we get those videos, Connor?
You can watch them on YouTube.
Okay, cool.
You can watch them on the Connor Walsh YouTube channel at CMJW Entertainment. So
nice.
You can check that all out. That YouTube channel has it all. It has my music. It's got my Walsh Wednesdays. You can check it all out there. But
so now that you're working for yourself,
yes.
What's your day like? What do you do?
Oh, my buddy. I was just messaging a buddy last night. I was door dashing from 5 to 11, and we were having this big long conversation. I'm using speech to text while I'm door dashing, and I said, so it's like, hold on, bear with me, I'm door dashing right now. And he says, you and your many jobs, you have a little too much, but you handle it with grace.
There you
go. I was like, I don't know if I really handle it with grace, but I'm glad it comes off that way.
It does.
So, yeah, no, I do a number of different things. I feel like the beginning part of my day, the typical 9 to 5, is mainly focused on Walsh Wednesday, where it's either editing, whether it's uploading stuff, getting things out there, clips, doing interviews with people, emailing, handling a lot of the business.
Are you structured like that? Is it like literally start at 9 and end at 5?
No.
Okay.
No, I would just – kind of a general sense.
Okay.
But yeah, when the sun is out, it's typically Welsh Wednesday.
Fair enough.
That's typically what's going on. Then I DoorDash in the evenings from like 5-6 o'clock to like 11 o'clock midnight. Right. That makes some money. So I got the DoorDashing. I have the sponsors. I also have a part-time job with Dutchess Beer Distributors, so I do events for them every once in a while.
All right, cool.
So most of those events, they're either like early evening weekdays or they're afternoons on the weekends.
Right.
So, you know, between all that, I could be doing Welsh Wednesday in the first third of the day, Dutchess Beer in the second third of the day,
and then
DoorDashing the last third of the day.
Right.
And then somewhere in there is a very, very minimal amount of sleep.
A thin coating of sleep.
Yep. I feel like I'm back in college again with how little sleep I'm getting.
It'll pay off. Yeah. How do you track your productivity? Are you a to-do list person?
Oh, yeah.
You are?
Yep. I have. If I don't write stuff down.
Is it on an app
down,
or
is
it
tough?
Pretty
much anything I can get my hands on. If it's paper in front of me, I'll write it down on paper. If it's on my phone, I'll write it down on my phone. I live and die by my Google Calendar.
Mm.
So I have everything down on that. When it comes to Welsh Wednesday, I organize a lot of that through Airtable as well. I have a whole spreadsheet when it comes to, you know, who's coming on when it's airing. Even if it's not even like a recording session, even if it's a meeting, I have that on the spreadsheet. I have different categories for it, like meeting, recording, airing.
I used to do Google Calendar and Airtable, and then I started just doing Google Calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it. Because it was frustrating me to go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So now I just use Google Calendar, but I'm like you, but it Google Calendar or die.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing that I don't understand how they provide that tool for free.
Yeah, it is.
It's got to be.
Quiet, John. Quiet.
It's got to be data collection, right? It's got to be data collection.
Oh, Google definitely does do a lot of data collection regardless, big time. But you're right. The Google Suite is a huge shield. So
even Google Meet is amazing.
Google Meet is fantastic. And one thing I will say, you know, where Google does make their money besides like the ads that they do,
right,
like when it comes to their Google Suite, and they've hooked me into this, and I'm okay with it, but it's the storage, because they'll only give you so much storage.
Right.
And then when it's...
I bought the big package now. I got like 2 gazillion. But I save like every episode gets uploaded there.
Yep. I have multiple terabytes across multiple different Google accounts.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where they get you too. So...
Do you do show prep?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I have to. Every single show that I do, to some varying degree, I'm always researching who I'm going to have on to a various amount of degrees. I'm looking at their websites. I'm looking at their social media. I'm trying to learn what the latest programs, initiatives, topics are. I kind of send them a list of things that I'm thinking of talking about.
Does this
line up with you? Well, some people want it. Some people want that stuff ahead of time.
See, now that we got a little got some listeners, I have an attitude now. Now if somebody wants to meet with me about the show beforehand, I'm like, no, because I'm the exact opposite as you. If I think about the questions in advance or we talk in advance, and this happened, when I do the show, I sound scripted. It doesn't sound authentic to me. I'm like, I just feel like and the person sounds scripted too. Just the whole thing sounds scripted, and it happened to me the other day. Somebody was coming on the show, and they're like, "Can you send me a list of questions?" I'm like, "No, because I don't know what the questions are."
Mm.
They're like, "Can you send me a list of topics?" I'm like, "No, I don't know what the topics are." I mean, if you're a psychologist, it's going to be mental health.
Yeah.
If you're a sheriff, it's going to be law enforcement. If you're a musician, it's going to be in part be your music. But other than that, like, I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
And they're like, are there things that you want me to focus on? I'm like, you keep asking the same question. So they wore me down. So finally, I'm like, let's have a call, because I can tell. And like, you know, some people are nervous. So
exactly. That's a lot of it.
Right. So if you're like going to be so nervous. So I made an exception and I did the call. If It was an hour and 5 minutes. We did the whole show.
You could have done the interview.
It was the interview. That's the problem. And then so when they came on, I did nothing that we covered on the phone call.
Really?
Because I knew what was going to happen. And then the guest was like, you know, hey, we didn't cover anything that we talked about. And I'm like, yeah, because I told you. I don't pre-interview. Yeah.
No, I see, it's not that I necessarily do a pre-interview, but – I have a general idea of the things that we're there to promote or things along those lines. But it's not like I have exact questions.
Right.
I have an idea of kind of a guide. And then from there – but this is the best part. It's mainly because I do try to keep it fairly conversational.
Right.
That other questions come up. Other conversations come up. Things get said, and that leads to one thing or another.
Right.
I never am like, we have to keep it strictly to the book, and everything is like, it is because of the conversational factor of it that makes it so interesting.
Right.
Like, for instance, like, let's say I have a musician on, and I know they have a new song coming out. So obviously, I know I want to talk about the new song.
Right.
But I don't know where that's going to lead.
Right.
Or I was talking to, for instance, talking to Malene Rodkamp for Dutchess Tourism, and I knew they have this new accessibility program. I just knew I wanted to talk about the program, but I didn't know where we're going to go with that. Talking to Bernie Williams, you know, talking about baseball. And, well, the main reason why he was on was to talk about his charity, Tune Into Lung Health. We ended up talking about free agency for like the first half.
Right.
So I'm never going to be one that pigeonholes a conversation or an episode. I want to be able to be educated enough and speak well to whoever I'm speaking with, but I'm never going to limit myself to this is exactly how it's going to be. I'm not going to name names. But there was an interview that I was listening to on the radio, and it was so. So, next question, yada da 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 da.
Right.
And then the answer, yada da 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 da. Very good. Next question, yada da 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 da. And it was.
That makes my ears bleed.
And every once in a while, you could hear a little personality come out, and I'm like, I want it.
Right.
I want it.
Right.
I want it. And they didn't stick to it. And I'm just like, I really hope that they learn from this soon.
I wonder if this is going to happen to you because it happened to me. I now have a like some of my questions have yielded fruit. So mm-hmm. I repeat like some questions. Like when I had you in as a musician,
yeah.
I said, you know, where do your songs come from? Is it music first?
Oh, yeah. First? Those are things you can say like, to any musician.
Right.
Totally.
And now, like, I have, like, the standard list of questions, and I'm trying to get off of it, and I can't. I'm like, but it works.
It works because there's a different story for each one.
Right.
Because I could ask a musician, tell me how you wrote this song. And there will be a different answer every single time I ask that same question.
Right.
They will tell – one musician will tell you how they came up with the riff. Another musician will tell you about the heartbreak that they experienced to write the song. The other musician will talk about this funny thing that they did with friends that came up with the line that helped inspire the song. Another person will talk about the production. Just one simple question, a very general question, will give you infinite – amount of answers.
Right.
And it's so beautiful that way.
Yeah. How's your mental health?
Mental health has been good.
Good.
I'm very happy with how things are going that way.
Good.
I remember we were talking last time about how I got into therapy and everything.
Yeah.
It was definitely long overdue, but it was really the death of one of my best friends that really pushed me into therapy. And now, where am I? Probably about like, was this about a year and a half in? Year and a half into therapy, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
It's been huge. You know, the accountability factor has been great.
Mm.
Been able to really hone in and focus on decisions, you know, not getting paralyzed by certain decisions and just making it, setting boundaries. Oh my God. I'm letting a little too much of my inner voice out sometimes. My inner voice that's a little more blunt and not rude, but definitely assertive.
Okay.
And I'll admit I was definitely a pushover for many years and a huge people pleaser. And though I still consider myself a people pleaser, I figured that I'm way more assertive than I was before. And I'll say things to my therapist that I actually do say to other people. And she's like, "You really said that?
That's awesome.
You actually said that? I'm proud of you. Wow, you said that."
There
you
go.
It's like, yeah. It's like, I'm not going to be like pushed around or anything. I had a discussion with somebody and they were trying to lowball me out of something. And they says, like, "We think you'd be perfect for this." And I was like, "Yeah, I think I'd be perfect for this too, but I don't think you'd be perfect for me." Mm. And I just straight up said that dead in their eyes. And the reaction they gave me was priceless. The reaction that I had from my therapist was priceless.
That's awesome.
It was just but it has a lot to do with the confidence factor.
Right.
Setting those boundaries, really establishing and knowing your worth, mm-hmm. and knowing exactly what you want to do. Because I said yes to way too many things. Mm-hmm. I still say yes to probably way too many things. But the ability to say no, though, is important, because you don't want to stretch yourself out too thin. You don't want to waste your energy on things that are not beneficial to you and they're not going to help you. And you really gotta, you can be helpful. You can be the greatest person and help other people out with their things. But if you're not taking care of yourself at the same time, you don't have anything.
Right.
And that's something I could have told you that 10 years ago. Was I actually doing it?
Right.
And I feel like I'm doing it more now,
awesome.
Which is nice. And especially with creating my own company and starting off with something that is so risky, you have to really believe in what you're doing to really go for it and everything.
And not be afraid.
Oh, my God.
Because trouble with work like what we do is if you fail, it's very public facing.
Yes.
It's really public facing.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's scarier than just starting a deli in the corner of something where, you know, if you go out, you know, maybe somebody will walk past and go, "Oh, I thought there was a deli there at one point."
Yep. Or, change the name.
Right.
Change management, whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, and I remember telling people, it was like, I'm going to start my business. It's – okay. So there is a very interesting thing that I heard before. You'll see this on social media where if you tell a CEO, a business owner, somebody who is very wealthy and who is a self-made person, you say to them, "I'm going to start blank." 9 times out of 10, they will not say no to you. It's like they will say, "That's fantastic. Chase it. Yep. Do it." Because they had been there.
Right.
And even if it's not the exact same thing that you're doing, they'll be like, "Yeah. Take the risk. Go for it."
Right.
But then if you talk to your best friend, you talk to a friend, you talk to a family member, heck, you talk to your partner, they will have all the anxieties, mm-hmm. all the insecurities, all the fears.
Mm-hmm.
They will project their own fears of it onto you.
Right.
And that is where so many people get discouraged, have the self-doubt, and then they start pulling back.
Or they are afraid that you're going to succeed.
That's also true.
Yeah.
That's also true. Yeah. And that also really makes you think about who's in your life that's really wanting the best for you.
Right.
And then that helps, you know, that helps weed out the people if you can really realize that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I've had to have some really tough conversations. Like, I remember when I told Alex that I was doing this, that I'm creating this company, I'm doing X, Y, and Z. And you could see how tense she was initially when I'm telling her this, because it's like, where's the salary? Where's the benefits? Yeah. Where's this? Where's that? Yeah. We're trying to build a future together. But, you know, I think I've been able to really reassure her, not just in that conversation. She felt a lot better by the end of that conversation, but I think just over the weeks since then and seeing the work that I've put in, the know-how, the networking, the opportunities, and she said to me, it's like, "Holy crap, Connor, you're doing so much in so little time."
Mm.
And it's like, look what happens now that I'm free.
Yeah, yeah.
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 And it makes a difference.
It's funny because we had I'll tell you one more. I can't announce it yet, but we have a there's a development with the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm talking to people about it. And you're right. People split into two groups. One group is like, yeah, that's big. But go for it. I mean, it's kind of what you wanted.
Yeah.
Go do it. And then the other people are like – and they don't come out and tell you, you know, well, wait a second. You know, what if you don't call me as much or anything like that? But they're like, well, won't that change the show? Which is some people's way of saying, are you still going to be my friend?
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Is that going to change the show?
Well, I get from you what I'm currently getting out of you now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Want to play us out of here?
We'll play us out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wait. Before you do, Wash Wednesday, available everywhere.
Pretty much.
I'm selling it for you, bro. Wash Wednesday. First off, you're clearly a talent, so it's worth it.
Thank you.
Everybody has 24 minutes to try it at least once, and there's a diversity of guests, so there's going to be something that – is going to resonate with you there.
You might even hear John Burton on one of the episodes. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
You have the makings, man. You're funny. You're smart. You ask good questions. And now the chains are off. So
yeah
now we get more you.
I appreciate
which
it.
Which is good.
Absolutely. Man. This is very authentic, and I'm happy with the trajectory that it's taking right now. So.
Beautiful, man. Play us out of here.
All right, so for Valentine's Day, here's a song that I released for my girlfriend. Was this last Valentine's Day or two Valentine's Days ago? Either way, it's funny. I told the story last time I was here.
Okay.
But I didn't play the song, which is weird.
Okay.
I'm finally going to play the song. It's about very early on in a relationship. I want to say like 3 months in. And yeah, 3 months in, we're at a party. I'm over with my guys. She's over with her girls. And we just share a smile from across the room.
Mm.
And it was just like, oh, shit. This yep. is it. This is the song that came out of it. It's called Safe Haven.
I don't believe in love at first sight. I believe it takes a while. But one random look upon one random night, I saw my whole future in your smile. And I knew from that moment I could never turn back. Man on the run, I was still in my tracks. Forgot all my fears, I knew this for a fact, that I'd be there till my dying breath. I'll be safe, Haven, I'll love you forever. Greatest thing that I'll ever do. Be one lover, we'll have one another. History books will say it's true. Give me your hand and we'll brave any weather until all gray skies are blue. Be safe, Haven, I'll love you forever and ever. 'Cause one day I'll marry you.
3 months in, I wrote that.
Wow.
I've seen you a thousand times, but never like this before. It's like all the stars in the sky had aligned to tell me I need nothing more. If I'm locked out of heaven, I'll know I've seen grace. I've seen salvation on the look on your face. I'll walk through hell just to feel your embrace. You are someone I'll never replace. I'll be safe, Haven, I'll love you forever. Greatest thing that I'll ever do. Be one lover, we'll have one another. History books will say it's true. Give me your hand and we'll brave any weather until all gray skies are blue. Be safe, Haven, I'll love you.
the look in your eyes, I know I can't resist. I know true love really exists. I'll be safe, haven, I'll love you forever. Greatest thing that I'll ever do. Be one lover, we'll have one another. History books will say it's true.
Well done.
One of my favorite songs I think I've ever written.
Go listen to Wash Wednesday. Talk to you later. Bye.
I love it. John, thank you.
Good?
Fantastic.
Good. Good.